to Expounded Universe, Season 8, Episode 12, Kiwatu the Watcher. The book, Star Trek The Next Generation, X-Men, Planet X. The year, for the last time, I don't know. With your hosts, Jeff and John, let's go.
A person who would stick his dick through a hole in a shower wall has no honor.
That's what I do. I press the button that says cloak.
Such is my distaste for Cyclops.
Anyone sees you fucking this statue, they know you want to fuck.
That's right, it's Expounded Universe, the podcast where we discuss Star Trek and X-Men. And I am Jeff, and that is John, and hello!
Hello! And welcome!
Yes, it's time for the very final chapters of Planet X.
Hell yeah, we are finishing this.
Mm-hmm. It is donezo.
It is Dunzo, Washington.
Yeah, now we just have to talk about it for about an hour, and then I can burn this book.
Don't burn that book.
It's worth about $6.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But you know what? I feel like I would like to bask in the glow of about $6 worth of fire. That's.
I mean, I'm going to get way more out of that than I would $6 of wood.
That's true. Well, that's not true. No. That's incorrect.
$6 of wood will get you plenty of firewood. That's
a good chunk of firewood.
Yeah.
But it won't be as satisfying of firewood.
I don't know. You ever get a good crackle going? You ever sit there and you got a good old crackle?
Yeah, man. I got a fire pit in the backyard. I love crackles.
Yeah,
man. Hearing them fire cracks.
You get up in there and you're like, hey, it's time to crackle, my dude.
Yeah. And then I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I want. I want to smell like this tomorrow, no matter what.
I want to wake up tomorrow and be like, man, I smell like a fire.
Oh, crap. I've been hickory cured.
Someone just walks up and like, dude, you're jerky now.
Are you okay? Did your house burn down? No, I went to an outdoor fire pit for more than an hour.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, you fucked up.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Did you huddle around near it? Of course I did. Are you the guy who the smoke always follows? That's everybody at the fire, actually.
Yeah, the smoke breaks off and follows everyone simultaneously.
Yeah.
I don't think you understand.
Yeah. Outdoor fires. Try them out.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Southern California, then don't.
I mean,
we don't need the help. We're good.
I was going to say, it's like when I worked at, you know, a comedy club, and it was not in California, so people could smoke in there. And after working there for like 5 hours in a night, come home, be like, oh, I'm cigarettes now.
I never even thought about that. That club was smoking allowed?
Yeah, they had one smoke-free show, which mm-hmm. was the early show. And then everything else, you know, they had like smoke sucker things on the ceiling, but it doesn't matter. You're going to leave smelling like cigarettes.
I would have never even considered it. I bet half the people in the audience are just there because it's a smoking okay joint. And they're just sitting
well, again,
there
this
chaining
isn't California.
Through smokes.
No one gives a shit.
That's,
we can't.
Yeah, that's
Florida
true.
Florida is an entirely different beast.
That's right. I wouldn't have even occurred to me to check the smoking allowances in Florida. I assume it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Everything is perfectly fine.
Nothing is perfectly fine in Florida.
You got a crack pipe, go to town. It's Florida.
Welcome to Florida. Smoke up.
We just give you the spoon. You're gross, Florida.
Florida. I mean, I was going to say I miss you, but not really. There are some people I miss, but not really Florida.
Oh, Florida. I miss the lessons you imparted to me.
Like a wise old mentor who showed up to teach me the true meaning of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I will miss you.
So, let's see, John, this is the last three chapters of Planet X, and what do we have going on?
Well, I mean, basically all of this is just wrap-up. Like, that's all we're doing now. Although, we do get to start off with one last bit of holodeck business.
Yeah, it's Worf in the holodeck again. Now, this has been maybe 3 days since Worf even showed up from DS9, and now he's done two different vacation stints in the holodeck, and I'm like, I thought there were only like three of those, and there's a lot of people on this ship. Don't you have to ration that time usage? No, I'm in charge. I'm Worf.
Nah, fuck you. I don't have to go by the ration units that everyone else on the ship does. I'm not part of the crew. I'm a guest, and you let me do whatever I want.
I'm sure he's just
I'm using the soaps that aren't supposed to be used. They look like shells.
I'm sure he's just throwing the ensigns out left and right.
You, fuck off.
Barclay, no.
You, ensign dipshit, out.
Aw. Well, but Worf, I just figured out how to make Troy appear completely naked. Yeah, no, gross. Out.
Yeah,
out,
no, Barclay. You're the worst. Go.
Out, gross.
Honestly, when I first saw, because the first thing it says is the holodeck doors opened, and for some reason in my head, I thought this was going to be one last Xavier bit.
Oh, yeah, a little more Xavier business, even though it was very clear that that the conversation had cut off with Picard in the last time we saw him, where he was just like, oh, feel free to call on me again.
Yeah, for some reason,
and talk
I thought
to Barclay about the nude codes.
I thought it was going to be like the X-Men talking to, like, hologram Xavier for some reason. I don't know why that popped into my head.
Please tell us what to do, Professor X. Of course, as a holographic simulation to Professor X, I'll tell you what's going on here on my Earth.
Yeah, but, you know, instead of any of that, it is Worf going in to his hot stink jungle again.
Yeah, I love this, because he goes in with Wolverine again, and he's like, hey, this is my own hot stink jungle.
Why didn't you make your own hot stink jungle?
And Wolverine's like, because who gives a shit where you're fighting? Which is actually a pretty solid argument.
I do enjoy that, like, going in there, he's like, I thought you said you were going to make your own program. Yeah, but I don't give a fuck where we fight.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty clever thing for Wolverine. I mean, ultimately, this is all going to fall apart when you consider how hard it would have been for Wolverine to program what he did, given that he is Wolverine and not a holodeck programmer.
Now, that does bring up my question of, what exactly do you do if you're like, I have a program I want to do? Do you just walk up to the computer and say, hey, computer, can you make this happen? And it says yes or no?
Yeah, actually. I mean, that happens all the time in the various Star Trek shows. I mean, you have the famous computer, extrapolate what it would look like if dinosaurs just kept evolving.
Yeah.
And it generates the exact race that they run into in Voyager. You also have the first season episode where Riker wants to go to a jazz club, and so he just keeps telling he's like, give me a woman. And then it's like, here's a pretty woman. No, blondes don't like jazz. Make her a redhead. And he just, it's that kind of shit, where the computer's like straight up interpreting he's like, okay, well, we're going to give you the perfect woman, Riker, whatever you needed. Well, it'll just keep going. So apparently it is a very intuitive interface, but even Wolverine does some stuff here that's, it would be very hard to explain to the computer, basically.
Yeah, I mean, even,
I mean, we might as well say what happens first, and then we can discuss why it's pretty much impossible what Wolverine accomplishes.
Yeah, so, you know, they get in there, and Worf is just like, oh, well, this better not suck ass, because you apparently will suck as someone that programs
mm-hmm.
things if you can't even make my stink jungle different.
Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, Wolverine could have been like, yeah, it's a weird dimensional coincidence that your stink jungle is the same thing as the Savage Land.
Weird, right?
Yeah, crazy. Don't worry about it. Yeah, we also have a jungle place to fight.
But
we also have a place we fight that's that one firelit cave you guys always create, you know, where the cave entrance kind of scoops off to the left.
Like, you know, that one?
Camera left. The one you've used for every single Klingon thing ever in a holodeck.
Well, we got it.
We have one of those for the X-Men, too.
So instead of random aliens with weapons coming out, first we get Sabretooth, and I am okay with that.
Yeah, like, Sabretooth kind of makes sense.
Of the ones that you could have where he's like, oh, I'm going to program X-Men villains into here, I'm like, Sabretooth is at least someone who's like, he's a hand-to-hand combatant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has a healing factor, but like, if you cut his head off, you'll still kill him.
Or at least incapacitate him long enough that he's going to stay down for a while.
Like, he is a very difficult, but still fightable foe.
Mm-hmm. But again, this requires we'll finish this up. So Sabretooth comes out first. He's like, ah, I'm glad you came to see me, Logan, you know, or whatever. But then after he has some words, we just start getting a cavalcade of X-Men villains.
Yeah, like out comes Blob, and mm-hmm. I go, hey, neither of you can really do much against him. So that's weird.
I've always thought that Blob theoretically is slashable. He's just not, like, you could cut him up, maybe.
Well, his fat is basically Mr. Fantastic levels of resistant and stretchy.
Okay, so no, the claws are just going to poke at him, and that's it?
I mean, there have been several instances where Wolverine just, like, stabs him, and it just goes into his gut and comes back out.
Yeah. So he's not a great foe. I mean, you can usually, when Blob gets beaten normally, it's if someone hits him in the head hard enough to knock him unconscious.
Or yeah, he ain't got fat around his head.
Yeah, or someone just goes, you know, oh, it's you, mind control, whatever. I'm Jean Grey. Sit your fat ass down.
The the other thing is Blob, at least again, maybe you could fight him. Because you're like, oh, I probably won't defeat you. But I can, like, mess around and dodge you, and it's kind of interesting fight.
He's a neat training dummy, anyway, and he's basically invincible, but at least, you know...
He's just sort of a giant dude that can kind of try and grab at you.
Yeah, so he makes for an okay fight, because he's not the best at fighting you. You just are never going to kill him. And then out steps, just...
Your favorite X-Men villain.
Yeah.
Eunice the Untouchable.
Ah, the famous Eunice the Untouchable. Now, be clear, that's U-N-U-S, and his name, it's not just an old woman named Eunice.
Yeah. It is Anus the Untouchable. Don't touch my anus.
Anus the Untouchable, here to catch them Duke boys. No, Eunice the Untouchable is a deep cut for most people.
Also, probably the worst thing you could bring out, except our next one, because his whole power is, what do you have? Oh, I've just got a force field around me. Do you do anything interesting? No.
No, his whole power is that he has a force field that makes it really hard to get at him.
It's like, so what do you do? I slash at his force field and nothing happens?
And there's two
fun.
Yeah, there's two instances of people getting through his force field with physical attacks in, like, the history of Marvel. So neither of them were like, you know, he got hit by a big, stupid Klingon sword.
Yeah, no. None of that is going to matter.
Yeah.
But he's also... Unlike, say, the Blob, where you're not going to beat him, but at least you can kind of fight with him, he's just going to be like, I'm in a bubble. Okay.
Yeah.
What now?
But technically, his fighting style, I think, is to use the bubble to kind of force people off the ground and stuff. Like, he aggressively uses his force field. So that's kind of a neat fight and everything, but it's also not a fair fight.
It's
not gonna
nothing
be fun.
You can do.
It's not going to be fun. How come he didn't create some of the, like, give him the replications of some sword guys?
Yeah,
there's plenty of X-Men sword guys.
You'd think he'd be like, oh, yeah, what are we going to do? We'll do some of the X-Men ones that are, like, beatable dudes.
Yeah, Toad. Yeah.
Toad's someone you're like, oh, that's a slippery motherfucker, but you can fight him.
I mean, technically, you could also be like, this is the Blob. Ordinarily, he's completely indestructible, but because this is a hologram of him, I programmed him to be a little destructible. And then finally, I think the last one,
yeah,
comes stepping out of the trees.
Pounding footsteps, and he's like, oh, man, that earthquake nonsense almost sounds like footsteps. And out comes motherfucking Juggernaut,
who's happy to see Wolverine, the hologram. He's like, ah, I'm glad we're going to get this started. So I guess he also programmed them to be chummy.
Yeah, because all of them are like, ah, good, finally we can scrap.
Yeah, but Juggernaut is a really hard concept to program into a holodeck, especially for a first-timer. You have to be like, all right, I need a huge idiot. Put him in armor that stops mental attacks. Also, I need you to replicate a magic gem that gives him unstoppable super strength.
Well, I mean, at that point, you're just like, he has ridiculous super strength. If we look, maybe there's a gem there, but it's not like you're replicating anything. It's all just hologram.
I mean, yeah. It makes me wonder if all these people weren't also stored in the database of the computer.
That's what I was assuming.
Yeah.
As I was like, okay, they had all those files, which is how they made Xavier. So did they also like, oh, when we were over in your universe, we just got files on all of the people you've ever fought, including real no-name bullshit ones.
If they did that, then this isn't actually all that nice of a gift. It's more like he just went through and curated the list for Worf than anything else. It's like he made him a mixtape.
Yeah, which, I mean, obviously is what Wolverine would do because they have a great bromance.
They clearly do. Although he has vastly overestimated the abilities of his companion Worf.
Honestly, he's overestimated his own abilities. He has, like, a hard time 1v1-ing Creed.
Mm-hmm.
So him and Sabretooth are like, oh, yeah, we're basically even.
I don't know if he's ever beaten Juggernaut.
Not really? I mean, he can get the helmet off, but then it's always like, and now for a psychic person.
Yeah. So ultimately, John, who would you have put in this room instead? Who would be your four?
I mean, Sabretooth is a good pick. Mm-hmm. I like that as a pick. Again, I'm going to say Toad.
Yeah, that's a fair pick. Yeah.
Hard to fight, but he is someone that you can hit and take down.
Yeah, sure.
I would probably want someone that's... it would be weird because if you put in something like, say, like Mastermind,
mm-hmm.
who's like, oh, he has illusion powers, which is basically just he has control over the holodeck.
Yeah, that would not be a smart thing. That would be a whole extra episode.
Oh, yeah, because then you're like, oh, no, I made a hologram that has control over the holograms.
Yeah.
Oops, my bad.
This isn't good.
It'd be like making Mysterio in your holodeck and then just getting real fucked up over everything.
Yeah. I think my four would mostly be sword dudes or weapon people. Like, I'm also fine with Sabretooth. But I think I'd throw, like, Spiral in as a potential fight for him because Spiral's got a lot of swords, and that's basically her core gimmick.
I'm going to throw in Phantom X because he sucks and I want to see him die.
I'll throw Quentin Quire in there.
Because psychic powers can't exist here, so he's just a bitch.
It's just a Glob Herman, because it'd be neat to hit him with a bat left.
I just want to see what his reaction shot is.
No, I was thinking Spiral, Shatterstar would be kind of fun to throw
in
there.
I was thinking Longshot.
Longshot would also be acceptable, but ultimately, I feel like that would just be the holodeck with the difficulty turned up.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, oh yeah, he predicts your moves as soon as you make them. It's basically, he's cheap.
Yeah, no.
Don't throw low kicks. He instantly throws you. Bullshit.
Bullshit guy.
Grim Reaper, I think I'd probably put in.
Sure, I guess, though I don't know why I usually think of him as an Avengers villain more.
I think he makes his way up there from time to time, but I always think of him specifically as a X-Force villain. And finally, Wolverine. I mean, you want to leave him the gift of you can beat me up anytime,
and
bub.
Fight me.
Yeah. I mean, you can make it one of the various...
make a Lady Deathstroke.
Oh, yeah, a Lady Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Who I believe is also a DC character that does exist.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I'd be like, here, I'm going to give you me, but also in one of my rare costumes, so it's worth more.
Here, I'm giving you the Weapon X costume. I got the dumb helmet and everything.
Stupid helmet, and I'm covered in wires, and I'm wet for some reason.
And I am hanging brain.
This is the me where I've only got one hand. It's the Age of Apocalypse Wolverine.
It's cool, though, because claws still pop out of my other stump.
I spent 50 credits on this.
Neat, right?
That cost me $9.99 in crystals.
And here you can fight the Phoenix Force Cyclops, eh? Neat.
And here you go. This is Wolverine with Venom on him.
Here I gave you the Ultimate Colossus to fight.
Oh.
Hey. He's the gay one.
He's the good one.
I said what I said.
It'd be kind of great if you just went through and gave him all the gay Marvel characters.
Here you can fight North Star.
The most recent incarnation of Iceman.
Here you go.
And then just not explain what the connection between them is. It's not like Worf's going to know.
Yeah, they'll just be like, huh, that's a weird assortment of people you've given me.
Okay, so that's pretty much what happens is Wolverine's like, yeah, now you're gonna have a real scrap. It's time for fighting.
Now I also know, because he's Wolverine, he does not have the authority to turn off the safety protocols here, so you're gonna be fighting like Juggernaut and Sabretooth and Blob and so on, but the safeties are on. Which means they're just candy babies.
Well, ultimately, they'll punch you and it won't kill you. It'll knock you. They're going to be really good at knocking Worf down. Because Worf won't turn the safeties off either, usually.
No, but it'll be like, he'll run at Juggernaut, hit him with a bat left. Nothing happens. Juggernaut backhand him.
Yeah, he goes flying into a wall and he's fine.
Great.
He's automatically fine. Everything's the only person I've known who really turned off the holodeck safety features was B'Elanna Torres, and that's because she was a suicidal piece of crap.
Well, also, Data, when he was being controlled by Lore and felt anger one time when he was fighting against the Borg.
Yeah.
That's right. I know my shit.
You've got it down. Good for you.
I know what I'm about.
And by the way, I don't mean to suggest that B'Elanna Torres was a piece of crap because she was suicidal. It's those are two unrelated things.
Yes.
Yeah. So take that into consideration. Thank you. Please and thank you.
Now after that we get everyone in the meeting room, you know, that big long table that they've got where they all get together and discuss what dumb shit is happening in the episode.
Yeah, it's not the ready room, it's the meeting hall, whatever, who cares.
It's that meeting room.
Yeah, it's the meeting
room. They've got a TV on one end and then a big oval table.
It's the VIA room at the local Hyatt.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They're in the Princess Ballroom.
Well, they have to get this done by 4 because there's a prom tonight.
So, yeah, they've got all the standards that you would expect. So Worf, Riker, Troy, Crusher, Data, LaForge, and then all of the X-Men as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a little crowded
in
there.
It's the most crowded it's ever been, thinks Picard.
My goodness. Why did I invite all of these people here?
Was Guinan really necessary?
Was Worf really necessary? I mean, in this entire interaction, Data and Worf do nothing.
Barclay, what are you even doing in here? And Barclay's like, oh, I'm sorry, I must be in the wrong room. And he's just like scanning Shadow Cat. hold still, please.
Yeah, that will come in handy later.
It's a good thing I was transferred to Jupiter Station like 3 seasons ago, so none of these jokes make sense.
So this is the part of the story where we basically get the breakdown of, so, what really happened?
Yeah, this is the last page of the Encyclopedia Brown novel.
So Riker's first up, and he gets to be like, and now to explain what was going on with the Drakkon.
Yeah, so he's like, all right, so the Drakkon, as you well know, were attempting to seed mutations onto that planet so they could harvest them. At a certain point, they had a colossal windfall where they discovered a way to create mutants, but it didn't work on the Drakkon.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we found the X gene, but for some reason the Drakkon don't have that. So they're like, all right, we got to find some race.
How did they find it?
I don't know. The fact that he's like, oh, yeah, at one point they found out that there was a mutant gene. You're like, how? Who were they experimenting on that they were like, hey, let's find out if they can take superpowers for these random people that aren't us?
What a complex experiment this was, because the other thing we learn is that the Drakkon ability to grant the X gene to people has a 22-year dormancy period before it starts to work.
Well, yeah, they were like, oh, we have to first seed the gas, and then it's anyone born after that, because it's not going to turn you into a mutant. It just makes it so that people born then will have their mutant gene activated, maybe, when they turn 22.
Yeah, which it's a weird decision. It's what I understand is how they figured out how to do it. That means they had to have some other species besides them that they were doing really long form experimentation on, including breeding them.
And this apparently is the first time they've tried this.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, and they mention this, they're like, oh yeah, there's a super brief window where they could actually get these people because they need to make sure that they get anyone that has powers, but then also get them before they know how to use the powers.
Yeah,
because otherwise they're fucking superheroes.
Yeah, you can't get them because they're superheroes now. So they have this little tiny window of success margin, which is why they didn't just fuck off when the Enterprise showed up and then come back later.
Although, honestly, when they showed up, I was like, that's too late.
Yeah.
Your window was way too late.
So apparently it affects an entire generation, but only a few people from that generation mutate, which is what stops them from just showing up 2 years before the mutation crisis and just kidnapping a bunch of kids.
Yeah, just being like, all right, who's 20 right now?
Yeah.
All of you, we'll take you, and in 2 years you'll turn into mutants.
Yeah. And ultimately their goal was that the Drakkon are a expansionistic, warlike species that were planning to train these transformed Zhaldians to be a shock troop army for they weren't going to drain them for their mutant juice, which makes me sad because I was really excited about that prospect.
Yeah, I don't know where you got that from. Where in the twisted imaginings of your dark mind someone was going to throw a mutant in a blender and suck the juice down?
Look, creating and imbibing mutant juice to give yourself mutant powers is like a time-honored X-Men tradition.
Is it, though?
Yeah, no, it completely is. That's what the X-Men villain, the juicer, does.
Ah, yes, the juicer.
His name is Juicero.
Juicero.
Yeah. Juicero is an X-Men villain who drinks mutant juice.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. And Juice is a mutant who really doesn't like him very much.
No. Hates him.
Juice's whole power is that he is an exceptionally juicy mutant.
That's his power. Guys, I'm so juicy. Yeah, we know.
We all saw the sweatpants.
We get it. No, but guys, I'm real juicy. Okay, you know what?
I'm extra juicy right now.
You gotta get out.
Before Juicero gets you.
Look, Juicero's on the way. You gotta go, Juice. I think Juicero was just made up by the X-Men to get rid of Juice, honestly.
Yeah, he was the first step of Operation Juice is Loose.
Riker just sort of gets to go, yeah, this is what their plan was, and we stopped them. And the reason we know that is because Wolverine, I don't know, probably stabbed a guy.
That was awful. There's a part where they're like, how did we figure out this information from a Dracon? Oh, we didn't. We left one of them alone in a room with Wolverine. And I'm like, there's no way that's okay.
Yeah. And the thing is, Picard's like, you did what?
Yeah.
And Riker's like, eh.
The Prime Directive doesn't apply to mutants, Captain. Yeah, but they're under my jurisdiction, you dickhead.
I don't think it matters if you're like, well, the whole no torture thing doesn't count if it's mutants. There's nothing in the rule book that says a mutant can't torture someone.
Yeah, no, it very clearly does.
No, right there. A mutant can't torture someone. It's there.
Yeah, that's why we had to ban Juice, because it was so torturous to be around. Hey, guys, I'm real juicy.
Get out. You wanna feel? Oh, no.
It's real squishy in there.
I'm like a full sponge. You'll find that I am most loofah-like at the moment. Oh, I'm going to vomit. Get out of here, Juice.
I also considered human stress ball for my name.
Ugh.
If you squeeze this part of me, this other part bulges out.
Ugh. And then it's time for LaForge to take the stand and be like, all right, now that we know what the Dracom are doing, it's time for me to tell you what was going on with you guys.
Yeah, because Lord knows the best way to write a book is to just introduce some problems, then have nothing happen for a long time, and then have an engineer come in and be like, all right, so what happened was...
Oh, yeah. And he's like, all right, so I found out that Verderon particles cover Nightcrawler.
Mm-hmm.
Then I found out that the starbase where you guys came in got blasted with Verderon particles. And then I looked, and they're... logs say that they've got your time hook that we lost.
Yeah, and so when you use your time hooks, the Verderon particles between you and the time hook that was still at Starbase 88 were intermingled, probably on the quantum level, and so naturally you were pulled right to them, where it's why you showed up at Starbase 88 next to a time hook that you didn't see, because it was in a box.
And that's why you showed up at this time in this area, instead of just randomly somewhere in all of space-time. It's because the space hook was there.
Yep.
The time hook. The whatever. Who cares?
The time-space-whatever hook.
The MacGuffin was there, and now you're here. It doesn't matter.
And he's like, well, anyway, I'm pretty sure I know how to just do engineering so that your time hooks won't have the problem anymore.
Look, we're just going to get the time hook from Starbase 88, and I'm going to give it a good deep scrubbing to get those Verderon particles off.
We're just
going to
use the hose.
We're going to take it out back. We're going to take the time hook and Nightcrawler out back. Hose them off.
Hey, I could probably help hosing them off if you want to hose them off with Juice.
Get out! Damn it, Juice!
Violet, I'm turning violet, Violet.
Ugh.
It's me, Juice.
It's me, who wants a squeezins?
Anyone want to drink some fresh home-pressed?
I've got so many varieties.
All of them me flavored.
Who wants a couple of plums in their mouth? Juice, I will murder you.
Before you murder me though, what's your opinion on pulp? You want some pulp?
No pulp? Too bad.
No pulp. Oh, there's always some pulp.
Oh, don't you worry about that. It's always a little pulpy.
Good Lord. Well, that's the grossest mutant. Move aside, maggot.
It's Juice. It's Juice's time to shine. That's right, baby. Now it's time for me to concentrate. Juice jokes.
I get it. I get the joke.
So, yes, LaForge tells them all that he'll engineering and it'll be fine.
Yep.
And then it's Dr. Crusher's time to get up and explain everything.
Yep. So Dr. Crusher gets up and she's like, hey, so... I'm sure you guys all are fully aware, because it was in the last episode, that I can cure the mutations of the transformed on Jaldia. I can also cure your mutations. If you would like to be ordinary humans, I can do that for each and every one of you.
Yeah, because I took the cure, and I went, hey, computer, extrapolate from theoretical database how to make this work on the X-Men.
How would I remove the mutation gene from an extrapolated future dinosaur?
Oh, like that?
Okay.
Man, why aren't we using this computer more for cool things?
Well, all like, and she has to be like, well, you'd all turn right into regular old Homo sapiens. And Wolverine doesn't interject and go, actually, I was never a human in the first place. I'm a lupus sapiens, technically. I've read a lot of my own comics.
I don't know what's going on with my backstory. Honestly, no one else does either.
It's some bullshit. I should never have had my own book.
I like that Nightcrawler's like, you know, the only people who have ever offered to make us Homo sapiens have been our enemies.
Yeah, it's never a good thing. Please don't do that. Especially Wolverine has to be like, no, fuck no, I would die if you did that.
I would die from having a metal skeleton.
Actually, he's Bone Claw Wolverine. He'd be fine, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He'd just have really fucked up arms from the bone claws.
Yeah, he'd have bone spurs.
Yeah. Why would he ever turn that down? He'd be like, oh no, society has rejected me because of my ability to heal real fast, which ultimately only turns up if I get into fights or into a big accident. Like, he's the most passing mutant.
Oh, yeah. He's got such passing privilege.
A lot of them have passing privilege, which feels weird when you, like Jean Grey can just...
No, that's the whole point of them versus, yeah, say, the Morlocks, is they're like, hey, fuck you, you keep talking about how oppressed you are, but literally all of you except for, like, three are fine.
Yeah, and even those three are all cute, because when God struck you down with weird mutations, he went with cute blue.
And the one that couldn't pass for human because you look like an angel from Christian divinity.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you.
And everyone loves Beast. He's basically a teddy bear that went through the wash.
Oops, I put your teddy bear in with a lot of blue jeans. Sorry. Yeah, no, it's
anyway, none of them want this kid. They're all like, no, hell no, all of us have fought our whole lives to accept who we are, and now that we do, we don't want to change it. Plus, you know, all of us have rad superpowers, and out of the group here, only two of us even look weird.
Yeah, and of that, only one of them really looks weird.
Yeah, Angel's pretty much just a dude with wings. I'm sure people yell at him and stuff in the street, but
oh, yeah,
when was the last time he was, like, in the street? He's Angel. He's never going to be on the ground.
Yeah.
He even goes up above his girlfriend's parents' house to fuck his girlfriend. An actual true thing that happened.
Comic books. He fucks like an eagle falling out of the sky. Anyway, the doctor's just like, yeah, I figured, but yeah, I had to offer.
Yeah, that's fair. And then, luckily, it's not like they go, and Commander Data, what have you got to say?
All right, and Worf, bring us up to speed.
I did nothing. I did enjoy fighting the Juggernaut.
It sucked a lot.
Okay, great. Data, your turn. I'm fully skilled in all forms of communication. What? What are you talking about? I meant to say pleasure. I just fell apart in the middle of my own joke, Captain. I will go ahead and sit back down.
This bit is ruined. I'm sorry, Captain. Ever since I got that emotion chip, I've just been real messed up.
I don't have good emotions.
Look, I've got some real turbulent juice going on right now.
Here's my real problem, Captain. The only emotion that this chip puts out is juicy.
Crunchy.
I'm feeling exceptionally juicy right now, everybody.
Ugh. So, yeah, we end with... At that point, Picard and Aurora.
Yeah, they're all getting up to leave, and Picard's like, oh, and Aurora, would you stay so we can have a word?
Might you laugh with me if I said Commander Worf's head looks like a fanny?
No, Captain, I would find that distasteful.
That would be in very poor taste.
Ah, yes.
Do you know how many mutations I have to deal with on a daily basis that are just sad kid with broken head?
That would be...
It's very common.
Real sad for me. But he's just like, hey, you know when you got on the ship and you were like, we probably shouldn't bang? How about we bang?
Eh? He's like, hey, you said when you said we shouldn't bang that you had one exception. What was that exception?
Was it my dick?
Was it the captain's log?
Huh?
Wait, that sounds like poop. Please excuse me.
Sorry. I'm bad at innuendo.
Unless you're into it. Okay.
But so, Storm's just like, yeah, you know we're about to leave forever. Are you sure you want to get down and nasty?
Yeah, and Picard's whole thing on the show has long been established as he doesn't like that sort of shit. He's a long-term relationship kind of guy.
Yeah, he is there for the actual relationship of it, not just to bone down.
Yeah. No, that's what Riker's for. Riker's the bone down man.
It sounds like a really bad horror movie.
Actually, it sounds like a really good mutant.
Nah, man, the bone down man comes after you right after the bye-bye man.
Oh, the bone down man.
As soon as you say the bone down man, it gets in your brain. You can't stop thinking about it.
And he walks after you very slowly. He won't stop.
And he's got a huge erection.
Hey there, you want a bone down?
Hi there, I'm huge erection. So yeah, Picard eventually is like, yeah, all right, I guess let's not then.
Yeah, well, how about we just shower together?
Huh?
Hmm? Yeah? Yeah.
Get slippery?
Get those Verderon particles off you.
Huh? You want to get real slippery? Hey, maybe you need some juice on it.
Get out of here, juice. The X-Men in our timeline are far worse.
We have our own X-Men, of course, juicier than yours.
But the principle is essentially the same. Let me introduce you to the X-Men of the 24th century. Juice, OJ, purple stuff.
Sunny D. And of course, Juicero.
The villain.
That's the end of that chapter. Last chapter before the epilogue is basically two pages.
Yeah, it's a send-off.
It's just everyone saying goodbye. You know, Wolverine and Worf hug tenderly.
Yeah, it's this chapter has to be the most devoid of emotion that I've ever... It's just like, here's the person who hugged this person.
Oh, yeah. There's a paragraph that, I mean...
Read it.
Dr. Crusher exchanged goodbyes with Archangel, Data with Colossus, and Banshee with Lieutenant Robinson and Lieutenant Rager. Storm, on the other hand, separated herself from the crowd and approached the captain's smaller group. I will miss you, she told them. What? Fuck you, book.
What is that? It's like square dance instructions.
Now bow to your partner, now miss them tenderly.
If your name is Banshee, then say goodbye to Lieutenant.
That's a
Rager, that is.
That's a march, not really a square dance.
Swing your partner in the mud, fill her socks and shoes with crud. No, it's fine. It fits the square dance line structure. Everything's okay. I mean, it could be used for either one. It depends on how Arlie Ermy your voice is.
How Arlie Ermy are you? You got to wake up pretty Arlie Ermy in the morning.
Take my OK Cupid quiz. How Arlie Ermy are you?
Turns out I'm 76%. Weird.
Ooh, that's more than the actual Arlie Ermy.
Arlie Ermy took it and he was only 23.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Turns out Juice is 100% Arlie
Ermy. He's the most Arlie Ermy. It's a shame he lives in a universe where there was never an Arlie Ermy.
I know, he'll never understand the significance of that test he took on OKCupid.
All right, so...
Good lord.
Oh, this is going nuts.
Anyway.
For some reason, Shadowcat seems to be heavily involved in the process of repairing the time hooks.
I don't know if she's involved in the repairing, but she was like, when LaForge was saying, oh yeah, this is what I'm going to do, she pipes in and goes, oh yeah, it's because of this and that, and you need to get rid of them, and then we can use that time hook. And he's like, yes.
So apparently she has some electrical engineering knowledge, which I was not aware was part of her skill set, but it doesn't surprise me.
Well, also, we're talking about future tech here, because this was Kang's time hook.
Yeah.
So even if she's like, oh, yeah, I've got my, like, PhD in engineering, except also this is from, like, 300 years in the future, so I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, it's cool. She eventually becomes the new Star-Lord of the Guardians of the Galaxy, so obviously she knows all kinds of space tech stuff.
All kinds of it.
Yeah.
So for some reason, she's heavily involved and is one of the ones working on the time hooks right to the last second.
Yeah.
I think
we get Picard finally is like, hey, Aurora, my name's Jean-Luc.
Yes, why don't you call me Jean-Luc?
And she smiled the smile of a delighted child. Okay. That sounds like Storm.
Yay, chocolate!
Eee!
I mean, how would she know? I don't think Storm was ever a delighted child. She was like a street pickpocket in Cairo or something.
Yeah. But there we go. Right at the end, they disappear. No flash of light, nothing. Just they're gone.
Pop, they're gone.
And, you know, Picard felt richer for having known them. And one of them in particular. One might even say he felt transformed.
And then he was like, Ensign, set a course and roll out. Oh, wait, wrong transformed.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that ending is horrible. Perhaps he even felt transformed.
Eh?
Huh?
And then Picard looked around and was like, eh, you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Eh? Juice gets it.
I do get it.
It's funny.
I'm juicy. Yeah, we know, thanks. I'm just happy to be involved.
I'm juicing out of every pore.
I kind of wish he'd been like, he truly felt transformed. But he couldn't stop thinking about the men, the brave men and women who were lost on the battle with the Drakkon. They were truly now X-Men.
Maybe their kids would be able to live on in the next generation.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's... Well, truly, the Drakkon had not counted on the unexpected introduction of trained superhero mutants to stop them. Some sort of X factor that they couldn't predict. Excalibur.
And there is an epilogue.
Yeah, there's an epilogue. The epilogue is that they the X-Men get home, and we get a lot of description about, oh, it's lots of nice pine trees. And
everyone's waiting for the next shoe to drop, and they aren't going to be able to stay here, but nothing happens, and Angel's like, fuck this, I'm flying.
Yeah, he takes off, and they can see the mansion off in the distance, and they're like, it seems as though we are truly finally home.
Meanwhile,
I really enjoyed that, .. Star Trek. Now let's go raise the kids of the mansion until they can be adults, because they are truly the next generation.
Nah, I made that joke.
Yeah, you made it the other way, though.
Nah, no, I didn't.
Oh, were you also talking about the next generation? I thought you were talking about the kid, the next generation of X-Men or whatever.
Children of the people who died.
No, you're fine. You made that joke then. I stand back. I stand corrected.
Get off my nuts.
But I'm juicing them.
I'm juicing these nuts. Who wants almond milk?
Get out of here, Juice. You're the worst mutant.
Meanwhile, off in the trees, sipping a pina colada
with sunglasses on in a lawn chair is Beak. Barn elbow husk.
Sure enough. No.
Of course not.
It is Q.
Finally Q.
What would this be without Q?
Yeah, this didn't have a cohesive narrative that hung together anyway with the time hooks and the fight against the Jaldians. It all made perfectly fine sense. But no, we need to find out that Q did it, because Lord knows it wouldn't be fun if Q didn't do it.
Yeah, and Q is sitting there like, you see, I told you it would all be fine. Nothing's happened and everything turned out all right. And next to him is motherfucking Uatu the Watcher.
Well, hold on. Let's be very clear. It never says the word Uatu. It just calls him the Watcher over and over. I checked because I wanted to see if this was Uatu, but no, it's just some Watcher.
It's Uatu. He is the Watcher of Earth.
Uh-huh, sure. He doesn't get a name, though. It's just some
if
Watcher.
If some other Watcher showed up on Uatu's turf, they would have beef. Yeah, it would go down.
They wouldn't be able to do anything about it. They just have to observe each other.
They're like, I'm going to watch you so hard.
Doing that two fingers at their eyes thing.
You watching you.
Watching you.
I'm watching you watch me.
This is my turf.
How dare you?
I'm watching you watch your turf.
I'm watching your turf watch you. What? Why on ego?
We all have to come here, Uatu. Everyone loves to watch Juice.
He's
the best.
Look, he's rolling down a hill.
I can't believe that Mojo hasn't snagged this guy yet.
Wee.
I'm so juicy.
The juice protects my tenders.
But yes, Uatu and Q hanging out.
Banging.
Hanging and banging.
In the back of an El Camino. Yeah, no, they're hanging out, and Uatu's like, hey, I can only observe, I may not interfere. And it's like, great, yeah, you establish what watchers do, thanks.
Yeah, but he's like, you know, most people that try to fuck with the time stream for their own gain usually fuck it up. And Q's is like, yeah, they're not me, I'm Q.
Yeah, maybe in your stupid galaxy.
Yeah, I'm sure that people in this universe are real dumb idiots about that, but I'm Q, so, nah. Everything's great.
You talk down to me about timelines. Picard never talked down to me about timelines.
Actually, probably did.
I'm sure he did on several occasions. Q stands up from his lawn chair, snaps it out of existence, then snaps his sunglasses and drink out of existence. And he's like, yeah, so isn't it a weird coincidence that the time hooks brought the X-Men right over where they needed to be, just in time to save the Zhaldians?
And Watcher's just like, why do you give a fuck if the Zhaldians are okay?
I'm keeping an eye on them is all you need to know, is basically Q's response.
Q, obviously, like, because I want rad mutants in the Star Trek universe? Duh.
Except, well, I guess there's a few left. A lot of them took the cure.
Well, some of them did.
Yeah.
But it's not like they cured the entire populace. The gas that was out there that made it seeded is probably still there.
So we're saying that it's just going forward, there's going to be mutants on Zhaldia.
What I'm saying is, yeah, it's probably going to be basically like Earth now, where a tiny percent of the population just, they hit 22 and become mutants.
Well, now we know why it happened to a planet with an X in the name, because that's just the sort of dumb symmetry crap that Q thinks is funny.
Yeah.
So,
but also, at least they're on a planet where they're like, yeah, you know, you'll hit 22 and maybe you become a mutant, but then there's always the ability to, like, walk into your local office and go, hey, cure, please.
I'm a mutant. I would like not to be.
Hey, I turned into a weird rabbit that shoots lasers out of my asshole. Please cure me.
Yeah, hi. Could you go ahead and give me a hand with the cure? For some reason, I'm accumulating juice at a rapid rate.
I'm getting real moist, I want to say.
I feel kind of besotted, maybe soaked.
Yeah, I feel just like real, real full.
I got a bloat going on, if you will.
I'm very bloated with some kind of liquid. I'm really liquidy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess maybe that plan. The other nice thing about that is if everyone gets their mutation at 22 on Zhaldia, then you don't have any of the horror stories that happen to the X-Men all the time. Like that multiple man one where he has a son and then he accidentally absorbs his son immediately.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what happened to Rogue with her first boyfriend.
Yeah.
So all of them can be like, yeah, when you turn 22, go off into the mountains for your, like, day of observation or whatever it was that this book started with. And then you will figure out what your superpower is in a way that doesn't, like, tragically kill anyone.
Yeah, except maybe yourself.
Yeah. Oh, no, my mutant power is that I can't breathe oxygen.
Whoops-a-daisies. But there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There is the end of the book.
We're done.
Wrapped
we
all
did
up
it
in a nice Q bow.
Oh, yeah, you know, Q's basically like, ha-ha, and I may see you again soon, Watcher. Maybe even sooner than you think, although that's a relative term. And then he snaps his fingers and leaves, and the Watcher goes, oh, that Q, how mysterious. Anyway, time to watch things for me.
Oh, that Q, how sexy he is. If only I could do anything but watch.
But I like to watch.
All right, end of Planet X, my man.
Yeah, we're done. We did it. We can do Star Wars again.
But before we do that, we do have a wrap-up episode next week. If you want to ask us any questions or comments, concerns about this book, you can go on to our Discord, go into our Expounded Universe thread, but use the hashtag Planet X so we can find it.
Yep. People have already started asking really good questions, so that's appreciated.
If you hate Discord and never want to be on it, you can also tweet at us with the hashtag Planet X.
Yeah, although hopefully there's not some other hashtag Planet X out there that I don't know about that makes it hard to find.
I mean,
we'll find out.
I would assume not, but meh.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very likely. So there you go. And thank you so much for listening. As always, if you want to hear yet more stuff about Star Trek and the X-Men, you can go to our bonus content podcasts. We have one for this show where we go on to various internet sites, come up with interesting information about Star Trek and the X-Men, and then come back to tell each other fun stories.
That's right. We are going to figure out some stuff to tell each other and you. We will do that for, I don't know, some time. And you can listen to it
yep.
if you want.
Yeah, you can. And that'll only...
I mean, I guess.
That'll cost you, $2 per System Mastery episode? It's like $4 a month to pledge to the level where you get four bonus Star Trek, X-Men, pretty soon Star Wars again, episodes delivered hot and steaming fresh to your ears.
Yeah, you get it hot and ready. Like a Little Caesar's pizza all up in your ear
you
hole.
You get our hottest juice right to you.
Mmm, hot juice.
Well, that's fine. That's just like au jus. You know, it's like a beef dipping. That's juice.
Yeah, it's one of the other people on his team.
Yeah, beef dipping.
No, au jus.
Au jus.
We got purple stuff, Sunny D, au jus. Wait,
yeah,
what?
He's from France.
He's one of the all new, all different.
He had to rescue us from Milk Island once.
We got au jus, aguas frescas,
gazpacho.
Anyway.
Da, und borscht.
Und borscht. Thank you so much for joining us. We have loved telling you all about these X-Men and these Star Treks.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I am the best there is at what I do.
And what I do is burn this book and I can get back to Star Wars now.